one of the most challenging issues that we have with regards to Parshat Pinchas is that classically, from rabbinic literature, certainly from the perspective of the Torah at large, extremist behavior is not advocated, and extremism is certainly denoted and something which we do not subscribe to. In fact, the Rambam in Hilchot Deot talks extensively about a healthy attitude, a healthy religious lifestyle requires one to adopt a middle of the road, the Shvil HaZahav, the golden path, by which in all of his attributes he does not demonstrate extremism, other than the specific attribute and characteristic of anger. Otherwise, with regards to all personality traits, a person is meant to find a fine balance between both and all of areas of his characteristics and his personality. In fact, for example, in the Torah, we see that when Shimon and Levi, who went out and destroyed the entire city of Shechem after they convinced them to have a Brit Milah, a circumcision, Yaakov Avinu later on reprimands them for having behaved so vociferously, so violently, with such strong attitude that exhibited an extreme violent behavior. To the extent that Yaakov Avinu says, Reuve Shimon Velevi Besodam al Techak Vodi, their presence, or my presence rather, Yaakov says, should not dwell amongst the Shvatim of Shimon and Levi because of their extreme sentiment and behavior. And yet at the beginning of Parshat Pinchas we meet an exemplary, outstanding character who's classically known clearly as a tzaddik, a righteous person, a person who is completely enthralled in servitude of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. None other than Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Pinchas is described as Bekano et Kinati, someone who is what we call a Kanai. A Kanai, in Hebrew, or in English rather, translates as someone who is extreme. Why is it that we advocate that indeed Pinchas is a tzaddik, a righteous individual, someone who performed a tremendous act in service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's known as a Kanoi, as someone who is extreme? How could we resolve this seeming contradiction? And interestingly enough, I saw a tremendous insight by the Meshech Chochma. The Meshech Chochma of Meir Simcha Medvinsk, the great scholar of the 19th century, says as follows, Ha'inyon de Pinchas asa shnei dvarim. Pinchas acted upon two particular actions, and it is one of them that I want to concentrate on, mentioned by the Meshech Chochma. Listen carefully to how he describes Pinchas' act. Ha'echad, the first is, Sheharag Yisrael, Bishvil Nikmat Kvod Hashem Shelo Yitchalel. The first is that he went out in an act of vengeance for the sake of reverence, of preserving the respect and dignity of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name, Shelo Yitchalel, so that Chalila it should never be desecrated. V'zeh, says the Meshech Chochma, and this is what the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Pei Aleph Amud Bet refers to when it says Kanoim Pogimbo, that a relative, a relation of someone who was killed, has the right to go out and to kill the murderer of that relative. Someone did so by mistake, if someone killed the other by mistake. Kanoim Pogimbo, what appears to be, loosely translated, the extremists, those relatives who are extreme, are allowed to go and to do in that person who caused their relations harm, even if it was done so without intent. Why is this? Says the Meshech Chochma, HaMikanim L'chvod HaMakom V'HaUma. Listen carefully to what that means. These are people who are zealous, who are extreme, who reveal a tremendous servitude, who are completely enthralled with emotion with regards to what? L'chvod HaMakom V'HaUma. Their extremism, however, dictates and translates into a complete service both to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kiviyachol and to the interests of the nation, of Am Yisrael. Therefore, even the commentary on the Meshech Chochma adds, says the commentary, Rabbeinu, Rav Meir Simcha, Hoshif Ekvod HaUma Binosaf Lichvod HaMakom. He decided to add the virtue of respect towards the nation as well as respect towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let us appreciate what the Meshech Chochma is suggesting very clearly. A person is normally not expected to behave or certainly to react with extreme behavior. However, when that extremism or that action which appears to be emotional reveals that it clearly is premised upon the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and subscribing to Him as well as to Am Yisrael, then that is the type of extremism that is acceptable. This is what Pinchas was about. Sure, the act which Pinchas did by slaying Zimri ben Salu and Kazbi Batsur in front of the entire congregation of Am Yisrael appears to be extreme, appears to be rather violent, and it appears to be intolerant. But Pinchas's intolerance is acceptable. Why? Because it's for the sake of preserving the dignity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and for promoting the well-being and the spiritual status and healthiness of Am Yisrael. And therefore, it's accepted. It's interesting because lately, the hot topic that's under discussion both in Eretz Yisrael and in the United States is the issue of the settlements, the shtachim, as we know them classically. The settlements which are beyond the pre-67 borders in Eretz Yisrael, which clearly are the subject of negotiation, which clearly seem to be the sore thumb that sticks out and is used now as the scapegoat for which there is no peace and no tranquility between the Israeli and the Palestinian people. The expectations that President Obama has with regards to no more settlements or building within these territories, within what we call, from a religious perspective, Eretz Yisrael. And there was an article which was written just yesterday by a woman named Liat Collins in the Jerusalem Post. The article is entitled My Word Freeze Frame. And I'll just read you one or two excerpts so that we appreciate and understand the subtlety and the message of what Ms. Collins suggests. This is what happens, she says, when the me generation's need for instant gratification meets old-fashioned anti-Semitism. Everybody wants to solve the world's problems right now, and they know just whom to blame. When it comes to Iran, President Barack Obama can waver because peace in the Middle East can only be brought about if Israel reaches an agreement with the Palestinians. And we all know what's preventing that. Settlements. Iranian construction of nuclear plants and its atomic weapons program pose apparently very little threat compared to the building of homes in Ma'ale Adumim, Har Choma, or Beitar Elit. A young settler who wants to build his home near his parents in Givat Ze'ev could unsettle world order. The woman with a bulge wearing a t-shirt with the slogan "Under Construction" is perceived as a greater global threat than a Holocaust-denying Islamic extremist with nuclear aspirations who can't even successfully win the elections he rigged. She closes the article by saying, "A settlement freeze would not bring peace to the world, although freezing Iran's nuclear program would help, both by sending a message to other rogue nuclear powers such as Korea, and by acting as a deterrent to its terrorist partners. A settlement freeze will not make the Israelis who live there go away. It will not make Palestinian poverty evaporate or the real problems of the world disappear." Rabotai, even were we to suggest that those who are settlers, people who attempt to establish our rights to settle our land of Eretz Yisrael HaShlema, a land which biblically belongs to Am Yisrael from the inception, the creation of the world, a land which is clearly defined as the homeland of the Jewish people in the book of the Bible of the Torah itself. Were we to suggest that those settlers today in our times could be deemed extremists, which in itself I have a hard time understanding. But were it so, the question that we would have to ask ourselves, based on this week's parsha of Pinchas, from a religious perspective, is what type of extremism are we dealing with? Are we dealing with extremists, settlers, who are interested in promoting a personal agenda? Who are interested in media mongers who are trying to seek attention from the media of the world? Are they interested in promoting their own venues, thereby receiving a better job, more wealth, more materialism that they could benefit from? Certainly not. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen teaches us that Pinchas comes from a lineage, a dynasty, a history, a family. There is a right that exists from generation to generation. And Pinchas teaches us that when that right is based upon promoting service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the betterment of Am Yisrael, then that extremism is acceptable. Were the settlers deemed as extreme, the next question we have to wonder is, what is their incentive? In the end of the day, Rabotai, those who settle Am Yisrael, both inside or outside the green line, it makes no difference. In the end of the day, their incentive is all linked as one, both to Ben Elazar, Ben Aaron, HaKohen, to all of the previous generations that link it to Ma'amad Har Sinai, to our commitment at Sinai, the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. But even more so, clearly the incentive is for the sake of settling the land where HaKadosh Baruch Hu breathes Kiviyachol B'chvodo U'be'atzmo, and for the sake of promoting the health, the fruition, nurturing the future of an Am Yisrael, which is so clearly dependent on furthering the cause of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, interestingly enough, in the heart of this week's parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu is instructed to take Yoshua ben Nun, Isha Sheruach Bo, and to anoint him as the leader that will follow Moshe's demise, Moshe's passing on. says the Torah, "V'ha'amadta oto lifnei Elazar haKohen v'lifnei kol ha'ida v'tzivita oto le'einehem." You should stand Yoshua up in front of all of the Kohanim, in front of all of Am Yisrael, and command him. V'tzivita oto le'einehem. Command him in front of all of Am Yisrael. What exactly is Moshe supposed to command Yehoshua? This becomes a subject of debate amongst the Rishonim. Says the Ramban, Ki ba'avur heyoto lerosh, yafkidem biyado, v'yizarenu lishtadel me'od b'inyanam. Listen to what Moshe is supposed to direct to Yehoshua. First, he's supposed to lead him with his hands and teach Yehoshua that he has to be careful, that all of his efforts and all of his charisma and dynamism should be focused on inyanam, the issues at hand that affect Am Yisrael. V'liyot nilcham milchamot Hashem, and to fight and wage the wars which represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mantra. V'yiyahu amotzi v'amevi otam, uli'izaher bidvar mishpat, and to always direct all of his issues, all of his affairs, according to mishpat, according to justice, according to halacha, the Jewish law and Jewish righteousness. Moshe Rabbeinu is meant to remind Yehoshua that leadership of Am Yisrael is dependent upon the proper incentives. And those incentives have to be based on a conscription to Kadosh Baruch Hu, to Am Yisrael, and to Torah Yisrael. When those ingredients are in place, that is the assurance of success. That is the assurance, the future preservation of Am Yisrael. Yiratzon, that in a world that certainly at times reveals itself in a very extreme and warped way, we as the Jewish people should continue to serve as the examples of what it means to have a healthy attitude, a healthy understanding of what is expected of us. And as a result of our constantly quarreling to ourselves and guessing ourselves if our incentives are towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael, will be zoche to receive all of Eretz Yisrael as one, based on Torah Yisrael, Mishpat Yisrael, and will have Al Yisrael Shalom.